I think one of the primary elements of a relationship, love relationship, and especially a long-term relationship, is a sense of connectedness with the other person, and a sense of being attuned to each other. And even though those are common words, I think the mechanism of the heart of being connected with someone and being attuned, mutually attuned, is a little bit elusive. In the group, I was speaking about the feeling of being connected. And what is it that actually happens when you feel connected with someone? And I think that there's, when it's between two people, I think that there's a some kind of a shared awareness of the mutuality between each other. And I think that there's a shared identity, that we agree that we are seeing the same thing. We agree that we're identifying with the same thing. And when there's that kind of connection, then there's some kind of a safety in that relationship. There can be plenty of relationships with safe that are safe but not loving. But I think if it is loving, that there has to be some kind of safety. It's not the safety that kind of overcomes change and denies the fact that, we're human and we have our own trajectories in life, but a sense of safety that you can be somewhat transparent with the other person. You can share your needs, your desires, your struggles, your fears, and that the other person understands them, and you know that you're understood by the other person. And I think this is really important. Just to share your love with someone or to open your heart to someone is nice to be able to do that. But to receive it back or to have another person initiate it back to you is also nice, but without there being the understanding that that's what's happening, I think we miss the experience of attunement. We might be sharing space, sharing experience, sharing everything else about our life, but may not be very attuned to one another because we don't know that we're have that kind of common identity. So, but I think that kind of understanding sometimes takes work, and sometimes it arises quite spontaneously or effortlessly, where you just know that you have a understanding with someone, and it is deep or profound or the most sensitive as you can be. And in that attunement and sense of really understanding and being understood mutually, that you can really feel like these two people, you and another, have become one without sacrificing each yourself. So that in that situation, one plus one is three. Because you remain an autonomous individual, and yet you create by your attunement, you create a third, not an entity, but you create a third experience. And that is a kind of profound sense of connection, which surprisingly, they can measure in MRIs. So there's these current testing going on where they can really measure how closely two people are attuned by, you know, brain waves and all that stuff. But what they have discovered, that not only can you be with someone else, you know, really, you know, whatever they're going through, you can grok it and you can be with it, and there's a little time lapse for that. But actually, you can be right immediately, as soon as someone feels or says or whatever they say or feel, you're in tune with them. But surprisingly, what they have found, and I think this is what makes love magical or mysterious sometimes, is that you can anticipate the other person's feelings, and that you're there before they are. And when that refined attunement is acknowledged, then the relationship just feels magical. It feels mysterious. It you don't know how that happens, but you know about the relationship, or you know about the other, without them saying anything. Or it's as if you, when you meet that type of person, sometimes you feel like you've known them all your life without ever having met them. And it's kind of, I was talking to someone earlier today about when I first heard the Dharma. You know, I was kind of going along in my life and, you know, struggling to survive, really. And went to a retreat accidentally, and I heard, you know, the basic Dharma talks, you know, mindfulness and morality and what, Four Noble Truths and Eightfold Path Factors and all that. And I heard it, and when I heard it, it was the first time I'd ever heard it. I'd never read any Dharma books. I didn't know anybody who meditated. I wasn't interested in spirituality or Buddhism. Didn't know anything about Buddhism. Didn't know anything. I went to a retreat. I thought it was like kind of like a resort, but you know. So I wasn't prepared. I didn't anticipate anything, except when I heard the Dharma, it was as if I've always known that. I always have known that, but I'd never heard it before. And sometimes you can have that same feeling about a person. I've always known this person. I know this person inside out better than as good as I know myself, even if you don't know anything about them. But you can have that feeling. You can be that attuned to another person. Now, I'm not suggesting that you hold out for that kind of relationship, you know, in your life. But nevertheless, it does happen. One fellow commenting on this idea of a shared identity, calling it the central feature of a love relationship, is a redefinition of oneself that no amount of sex or fun or time together can create. When you have that kind of sharing of identity. Goes on to articulate it in saying that when two people mutually fantasize, verbalize, and act their way into a relationship that can no longer be understood as a mere conjunction of the two, but only as a complex one. Now, this is not very Buddhist, you know. Two people mutually fantasize, verbalize, and act out their way into a relationship. Nevertheless, that's what we do. Now, whether it's Buddhist or not, that's what we do sometimes. We act and verbalize and fantasize a future, a past, a connection, a way of understanding, our attunement that, well, let's face it, you don't know where it comes from. You know, just as the feeling of love between two people kind of arises out of some magical connection, you know, so too we can recognize this bonding or this shared identity with another. And over the course of a relationship, a longer or long-term, which that's all relative. The intensity of the passion and the pleasure and the excitement may wax and wane, mostly wane. But other things come into the relationship to offer the glue of love. Last night I read a quote from Voltaire about long-term relationship. So I want to read it tonight. Sensual pleasure passes and vanishes in the twinkling of an eye, but the friendship between us, the mutual confidence, the delight of the heart, the enchantment of the soul, these things do not perish and can never be destroyed. With this, I shall love you until I die. And sometimes we feel that kind of connection with our partners. Another representation of that kind of connection in long-term relationships from William Stafford. No, William Stafford, I've heard William Stafford, I've heard it said of William Stafford that he could hear the stars falling. Mm-hmm. His quality of heart-mind was so sensitive. And he says of that kind of relationship, he says, I will listen to what you say. You and I can turn and look at the silent river and wait. We know the current is there, hidden, and there are comings and goings from miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that's what I say. And I think sometimes that the understanding we have between us in long-term relationship is like that. There's a steadiness or stability or stillness that on the surface appears to be a stillness, just the way the river flows. And yet underneath we know that there's currents and influences on that river that are coming from far away, far beyond the immediate moment. Another poem about living together. So we're dust. In the meantime, my wife and I make the bed. Holding opposite sides of the sheet, we raise it, billowing, then pull it tight, measuring by eye as it falls into alignment between us. We tug, fold, tuck, and if I'm lucky, she'll remember a recent dream and tell me. One day we'll lie down and not get up. One day, all we guard will be surrendered. Until then, we'll go on learning to recognize what we love and what it takes to tend what isn't for our having. So often, fear has led me to abandon what I know I must relinquish in time. But for the moment, I'll listen to her dream, and she to mine. Our mutual hearing calling more and more detail into the light of a joint and fragile keeping. I think the recognition of what a fragile but joint-keeping long-term relationship is necessary to really understand that To take it for granted is to undermine the keeping of this knowledge of what it is that we love. The question has to be asked, what kind of safety, what kind of security, what kind of peace, contentment, ease is possible in love relationship? Because in our spiritual practice, we look for some of these qualities. We expect some of these qualities of calmness or a sense of stability or peace of mind. And we have to ask if a relationship is a support for that, or if a relationship is just contrary to that. We should know, and I'll speak more about this tomorrow, that love is subject to the three characteristics. Love is also anicca, dukkha, and anatta. It can't be otherwise. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow, but can we understand the role of safety and the role of security and the necessity of being vulnerable in a love relationship? Can we reconcile them? Because if we're not going to be vulnerable, if we're not going to hang ourselves out there with what's real for us, and what's real is always tentative and changing and intimate. And if we can't hang that out there for the other person to recognize, to acknowledge, to accommodate, then what are we asking of that other person? Or what are we offering that other person? Some caricature of ourselves? Some way it used to be? And is there really any safety in that? So I question whether there can really be that sense of take-it-for-granted safety in a real relationship of love. On the surface, like the river, things aren't moving. But underneath, as we know, everything's in play all the time. It helps keep us alive. You know, if we're not alive to the dynamics within our own life, within our own heart, within our own mind, what are we sharing with one another? I notice in my relationships with students and teaching, I got a rap down. I can give you a dime a rap that, you know, it's been around a long time. But, and I can make it sound good too. Or fresh, even, you know. But if it's not real, if it's not alive for me, it's just something from the past. It's not, has no prana, as we say. You know, it's like leftover food. It's filling, but there's nothing in it. So when we look at our long relationships, we have to understand, is this just a relationship of agreement, convenience? Is this a relationship of fulfilled expectations? Do we have rules in our relationship that make it possible to call it love, or stay together, or be together? Or is there really this wakeful sharing of what's really going on? Don't try to answer that question quickly, because it's hard. It really is hard work to stay or to recall or to reconnect at that level a lot. Mary Oliver from In Blackwater Woods. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing that your own life depends on it, and when the time comes, to let it go, then to let it go. To really live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, what is impermanent, and then to hold it against your bones, knowing that your life depends on it. You can't live without it. And when in time it will go, to be able to let it go. Doesn't that sound contradictory? Like, how do you do all three of those? And yet that's what it takes. W.S. Merwin is a former poet laureate, lives on Maui. And he said of love, "Your absence has gone through me like thread through a needle. Everything I do is stitched with its color." So when I get this comment, it seems too simple that love is a natural state when all else is removed. It seems too simple that love is a natural or a mental state when all else is removed. It does seem too simple. And yet, we all experience it. It's hard to talk about. It really is ineffable. What love is, how it is. And yet we try, and the more we pay attention, the more accurately we can articulate it, maybe the more deeply we'll feel it. And yet it still is pretty, it's a conditioned state which is bound to be extremely complex. Condition brought into being by conditions, some of which we know, many of which we do not know, from time immemorial and from directions that we're just not aware of. But the more we pay attention, the more we'll be attuned to or in touch with more of the elements of love.